Welcome to Wasega Community Church. It's good to be able to talk to you all today. Things are just a little bit different today, as I'm talking to an empty church. Well, not quite empty. I have Richard here with me. But with all that's going on in the world today, we thought it was best that we not gather together. And we'll just get started. First thing, this is the week for the Good Food Box. For those that have ordered it, it will be here at the church, ready for pickup. We have three birthdays this week. Caleb Aberdeen on the 18th, and Mary Lou Piers and Abigail Baxter on the 19th. And we'll move into prayer and praise. Linda sent out an email the other day, and these are the responses that we got. For prayer, the Aberdeens are praying for security for our community and our church families. David J. has put himself into self-isolation, and his friend Bill is in good shape still. Monica is suffering from sciatica pain, and she's had that now for a couple of weeks. Shauna is praying that people will calm down and relax and quit panicking. Leanne and Mark are asking for prayer for all the families who are finding it difficult to find childcare and pay bills with all the shutdowns happening. And they are thankful for our current health situation when so many others are not well. Don and Donna McNabb need prayer for Donna's son, Roy, that he might find direction in his life, and that he realizes that he really needs the Lord. On the praise side, Monica is thankful for all that we have. Donna and Bruce are thankful for the doctors and nurses that are working on the front lines. Although they haven't said anything, I'm going to add in that Bruce had a little issue with his heart this week, and they've spent a lot of time with the doctors and nurses working through that issue. But Bruce is at home, he's comfortable, and he's doing just fine right now. Suzanne Stapels is thankful for a splendid mother and daughter week that she had in Costa Rica, and God's perfect timing as well to not have happen. Whoa, I can't even read this morning. God's perfect timing as would not have happened had it been timed 1 week later. No medical issues during the time away either. Good thing too, as absolutely no medical and cancellation coverage was available to Suzanne. And she praises God also that Richard kept well and was the beneficiary and support of his circle and friends. So let's pray together and give praise to our God. Father, in this world that just seems upside down and crazy right now, you are our rock. You are our point of rational thought. And Lord, we're thankful for that. And for all those prayer and praise items, for the people who are praying fervently for our community and our church, for those that are shut in and self-isolating, for those that are suffering in pain, and for those of us who are feeling the stress of the confusion and the panic that almost seems to be present in some places in our world today. Lord, we just give all of those things to you because you're the one that's best equipped to deal with them. Lord, for those people who are just at their wit's end, and finding it difficult with childcare and with just living day to day with everything that's shutting down and the changes that are occurring almost hourly. Father, we give that to you as well, because you have the best schedule of any of us. You know what's going to happen because you've already seen it. And Father, for Donna's son, Roy, Lord, we just bring him to you again, and we pray that you will make yourself known to him, that you will gather him up and fold him into your arms and hold him there for eternity. Lord, Monica says she's thankful for all we have, and we should all be that, just that way. For our healthcare workers in the hospitals and the doctor's offices, the people that are really on the front line of this COVID-19 virus, Lord, be with them. Give them your strength, because they need it today, and they'll need it tomorrow as we work through this whole thing. We're ever so grateful that you brought Suzanne back to us and that you took such good care of her while she was away. Father, we have no one and nothing to rely on greater than you. So as we proceed through the next days and weeks and probably months, let us all keep our eyes on you, because you're in charge and you're the one that we truly trust in everything that's going on. So let's get started. Be not afraid. That phrase appears, depending upon the version, between 40 and 63 times in the Bible. And Father, we have a lot to fear in this world in 2020. And I'd like to start with something that was sent to me this week by a friend of my sister's. And it's very appropriate for today's situation. Aches and pains are here to stay. They seem to change day by day. The list of ailments seems to grow as the body starts to slow. You can't be young, weak, or prissy. Getting old is not for sissies. This was sent to me by a woman who had cancer at the same time as my sister, who's been gone now some 6 years. And she was the one that, although she had cancer herself, spent hours and hours with my sister, talking to her, taking her out, getting her out, getting her moving again, right up until a week before she died. She conquered her cancer when my sister didn't. But that's okay. She knows you, she loves you, and she's got a good sense of humor. In Matthew, it says, "Aren't two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's consent? But even the hairs on your head have all been counted. So don't be afraid, therefore, you are worth more than many sparrows." Today, there's a lot of people feeling that nobody cares about them. Nobody knows that they're even there. they're in fear and they're afraid of what's going on around them. They may be healthy or they may not be healthy, but their whole worldview right now is locked up in listening to the horrible news that comes across the radio, the television, and social media. And Lord, it's important that we realize that you value us, that we're not just pennies, that we're not just something to be cast away and forgotten. That you say, don't be afraid, therefore you are worth more than many sparrows. Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for knowing that we can put our trust in you, knowing that there is nothing to fear because you're in charge. It's a temporary thing, this virus. It will come, it will do its damage, and it'll be gone. But Lord, you'll be there, and we know that. 2 Timothy talks about power, love, and self-control. The power that you have, the love that we have for you, the love that you have for us, and the self-control that we should be exercising. Let me just start in verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. We're not to be ashamed of the gospel, so don't be ashamed of the testimony about your Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In Timothy, a lot of people look at it as just being instruction for church leaders and pastors. But it does not mean that this doesn't apply to each and every one of us. Jesus came to earth for a short time. He put on the flesh of people, and he walked among the people of that time. And his ministry was all about loving, healing, changing people's minds, changing people's outlooks on life. And then he died. And if he had been like every other man before him, that would have been the end of it. The people who would follow him would have drifted away and would have stopped thinking about him maybe in 2, maybe in 5 years. But he did something a little different. He didn't stay in his tomb, and we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. He came back to life, and he abolished death. And if he can do it, he promised us that he'd do the same for us. That we would have immortality, that we would have a place to go, and that he'd even provide a mansion for each and every one of us. In Psalm 23:4, it says, in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We hear this psalm often at the end of a person's life. But there's a lot more to it than that. So let's have a look at it. It's a psalm by David, and it starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him. Not for my earning, but for his name's sake. Yet, though I walk through this deep, sunless valley of shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect, your staff to guide. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely, or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And though the length of my days in the house of the Lord and in his presence shall be my dwelling place." So not only is this psalm for those who have passed on, it assures us that no matter what we're going through, God's there. He's there to protect us, to guide us, to give us rest. But he's also there to be with us when we're out and around and about and doing things, especially when we do them in his name. And in these trying times that we're in right now, we should be doing things in his name. Whether it's just calling a next door neighbor or a friend from church and saying, "Hi, how are you doing today? Is there anything you need? Is there anything I can get for you? Is there anything you need help with?" That's what God wants us to be doing. He doesn't want us to be trapped in the shadows, afraid of death, afraid of what's to come. He wants us to be out there and active. In Isaiah, he talks about holding hands with God. It talks about not having fear again. So let's have a look at that. Isaiah 41:10. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. Be sure that all who are enraged against you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who contend with you will become as nothing and will perish. You will look for those who contended with you, but you will not find them. Those who war against you will become absolutely nothing. For I am Yahweh, your God. Hold your right hand and say to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not fear, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel, I will help you. This is the Lord's declaration. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah was a prophet. And he spoke to David as very few others could. Because David knew exactly who Isaiah was and who he spoke for. And in this passage, we hear him talking, and he begins the very start of this with, "Do not fear, for I am with you." God is with us. And we will not be afraid, because he's going to be with us, and he'll strengthen us. And he'll hold on to our hand with his right hand, his righteous hand, and give us all the support to get through whatever it is we're going through. He tells us not to be ashamed of who you are, who our God is. He assures us that those who come against him as God and against us because we're his children, that they'll be taken care of, that we do not need to worry about them, that we're his, and that he'll help us. In verse 13, he says, "Do not fear again, I will help you." He was talking to David, but he's also talking to me, to you, and to everybody else who believes in his son. And he stops in the end and he says, "You men of Israel, I will help you. This is the Lord's declaration. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel." What does it mean to be a Redeemer? A Redeemer is someone who has bought and paid a price for something. In this case, it's us. Jesus came to earth. Jesus is God. And he died on a cross for us, for Israel, and for everybody who would call on his name. Back to Psalms. Sometimes people tell me, "I don't know whether he's there. I look for him, but I'm not sure I found him. God hasn't talked to me. I haven't heard him." You're not the only one that feels that way. Let's see what this psalm says, though. "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed." Have you ever run into somebody and looked at them and seen in their eyes, in their countenance, in everything that they're doing, that they are absolutely at peace with everything that's going on around them? They're happy, they're radiant, and they literally do have that look of joy. And it continues. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in him. You who are his holy ones, fear Yahweh, for those who fear him lack nothing." So here we have a different way of looking at fear. Here we're actually told that we should fear God. But what does that word fear mean? Does it mean that we should hide from him, that we should run away from him, that we should not even speak of him because he might find us again? No. Here, fear is talking about the ultimate respect, the ultimate understanding that God is the Eternal One. He's the one that put us here on earth. He's the one that made earth. And he's the one that is fully in charge of everything that goes on. Although it may not make sense to us at times, he truly is in charge. Those who look to him, in verse 5, are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. So many Christians that I know and I have met who truly are deeply involved in God's work and in working with God do have a look about them. They're different. They're truly radiant. They really do appear differently. If you take that man of God and you put him with a group of non-believers, and if that person is bold enough to begin to speak about the Lord, one man, or 12, can change the world. You think of men like Billy Graham, a humble, quiet man, but put him in a stadium of thousands of people, watch those people on their way in, and then look at them on their way out. You will see a lot of them have changed. You'll always have some that are ho-hum, yeah, just another guy. But a lot of people at a Billy Graham crusade cry out to the Lord, and they walk out of the stadium changed people. And they go on to do great works and to love the Lord and to have changed lives. In Philippians, it talks about how do we get this feeling of being safe, this feeling of being in control. And it starts off, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your heart and minds in Christ. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned, receive, and heard, and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So in those times, when the world around you is panicking, is not calm, rejoice in God. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice in the fact that you know He's in charge. God is never too far away. I always remember the Flip Wilson routine, where there are the two so-called angels sitting on his shoulder. Well, I've only got one. You only need one. And it's not the little angel with the horns and the pitchfork. It's the one clothed in white and light. And he is always near us. He is always right there beside us. He is with us. Whether we're driving our cars, whether we're looking for toilet paper in Walmart, whether we're trying to calm someone down who is just beside themselves with worry, God's always there. And if we pray to Him, He'll give us peace. He'll allow us to guard our hearts. And He assures us that He's going to always be there. And in the end, we've all heard now, and we've all learned what we need to learn in church. We've seen what Christ did in the world. And there is no logical thing we should do other than just accept that peace that comes from God. John speaks about peace. And in John 14:27, it says, "I leave you my peace, I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Let's start in John 14:22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. The word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. You have heard me tell you I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. I will not talk with you much longer because the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me. On the contrary, I am going away so that the world may know that I love the Father, just as the Father commanded me, so I do. Get up. Let's leave this place. The book of John is a little bit different than some of the other Gospels. It's written with a different sort of a flair. I love to tell people that the book of John is where they should start when they become new Christians, because it's full of practical advice. In verse 25, it says, I've spoken these things to you while I remain with you. He wasn't going to be around much longer. He was giving instructions to his disciples to reassure them about what was about to transpire. He told them about the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. And he called him not just the Counselor, but the Comforter. And he assured his apostles that he would leave them with peace. And it's a different peace than what the world talks about. The world, when they talk about peace, it's, okay, you do this for me, I'll do this for you. And as long as you continue to do that, we're friends. Jesus was different. Jesus was looking for only one thing. He was looking for people that needed God, needed him. And he wanted to give us his peace. And his only exchange for that was, your heart must not be troubled or fearful. But he doesn't say that you got to do it on your own. He tells us that even though he's going away, that to the disciples and to those that believe in him, he would send the Counselor. And he does this before it happens, so that they can believe. He tells them he's going away. He won't talk to them much longer. And he also lets them know that the rulers of the world won't necessarily like the message that he's leaving, won't like the message that the apostles will take to the world, and won't like the message that we today take to the world. But he doesn't care, because he's in charge. He was in charge 2,000 years ago. He's in charge now. So as we wrap this up, I'd just like to pray for everybody that isn't here today, that might hear this message, that should hear this message, the people that you'll talk about and talk to and talk with in the coming weeks, that might see a look of peace, a look of confidence, a look of comfort in your eyes and on your face, because you're a child of God. We're all walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But we won't fear any evil. We have a way of communicating with the all-powerful God through prayer. We know that God answers prayer. So we have very little on this world to fear. We may lose someone close to us in these coming days. But if they know Christ, we know exactly where they're going. We know exactly what's going to happen with them. And that they're going to be living in their mansion waiting for us to arrive. So I just thank God for being in charge. Thank Him for allowing us to walk beside Him. Thank Him for being our Savior, our Deliverer, our Redeemer, the one who bought and paid for us 2,000 years ago, and loves us so much that still today He wants to take care of us. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good week. Remember to look up and just enjoy yourselves. By the way, one final thing, John and Jane are back. If you need them, they are at home. Feel free to call them. Although they were going to be on vacation, things have changed. And things will continue to change around here, I'm sure. So love each other, talk to each other, reach out to each other, and don't live in fear. Live in eternal hope, because we've got a God who loves us. Talk to you next week. Bye now.